The Haines police chief resigns after about a year on the job. And new legislation aims to grant lands to 5 so-called landless Southeast tribes. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Haynesboro Police Chief Bill Musser has turned in a letter of resignation after about 1 year on the job. Borough Manager David Sosa said he received a letter of resignation from Musser on Friday. Sosa said the resignation has to do with Musser's personal family situation. Musser did not respond to phone messages or emails for comment. Sosa said the resignation is not related to an ongoing external audit of the police department. He said the audit of the police department will help establish guidelines for the new police chief when one is hired. Musser's last day at the department will be May 21st. Musser was hired in February of last year after negotiations with another candidate for the job broke down. The Borough Public Safety Commission had recommended continuing a search for police chief candidates. The Borough Assembly approved Musser's hire by a vote of 5-1. He previously worked as a police officer and chief in Meridian, Idaho for about 20 years. Borough Public Facilities Director Carlos Jimenez also turned in his resignation last week after about 2.5 years on the job. Sosa said Jimenez had received another job offer. A new piece of federal legislation introduced by Alaska's U.S. senators is aimed at granting land to 5 so-called landless Southeast tribes. 5 Alaska Native communities were excluded from the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act in 1971, which transferred 44 million acres and more than $900 million to 13 regional Native corporations and more than 200 village corporations. It's not clear why Alaska Natives in Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, Haines, and Tenekee were not allowed to organize village corporations and receive land under ANCSA, but this isn't the first time legislation has been proposed to change it. KHNS's Margaret Friedenauer has more.
There's been legislation introduced at least in 7 different Congresses to try to rectify this.
That's Chuck Kleeschulte with Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski's office. The legislation, as proposed by Senators Murkowski and fellow Republican Dan Sullivan, would permit the 5 communities to form urban corporations and receive title to surface rights of 23,000 acres each. The Bureau of Land Management would draw up a list of lands the corporations could select from. State and municipal-owned land would be exempt, as would conservation areas. The legislation is similar to a Sea Alaska Lands Bill that got recent approval. In that case, conservationists didn't want the land privatized, worrying it would be damaging to fish and wildlife habitat. Sportsmen's groups also opposed the move. Kleeschulte says the transfer could provide economic benefit to the tribes and regions.
Given the current status of the timber industry in the Southeast, I guess we would all hope that people would look at this bill and with a new perspective and not necessarily be so fearful that the lands might be logged, but that they might be used for fishery development or for tourism development or for other development if Natives in the 5 communities actually received them.
Harriet Brulette is a tribal administrator for the Chilkoot Indian Association in Haines. She says she hoped the 5 communities would have been included in the Sea Alaska Bill. The communities have worked with the regional corporation over the last 2 decades to get this legislation passed.
It was half my lifetime ago that I started working on the landless issue.
Brulette says the draft legislation has basically remained the same over the years, but was tweaked occasionally depending on the political climate. Brulette says as the years pass, the chances of getting land selections gets slimmer. 23,000 acres is only a fraction of what the Chilkoot tribe says it's entitled to, but she's hopeful the bill has a chance of passing in the current U.S. legislature and administration.
President Obama's administration has been more open to working on Native issues and with tribal communities. So we were really hoping that this would be a good time for us to see a resolution in our land claims settlement. So.
If it does pass this time, Brulette says it will be bittersweet. Her mother was a strong advocate of getting the 5 landless communities included in the ANCSA claims, but she says her mother didn't get to see it happen in her lifetime.
And I just remember her telling me when I was 26 and going off to my first meeting that she had given up and it was up to me now to fight for our right, for our own land.
The Unrecognized Southeast Alaska Native Communities Recognition and Compensation Act is expected to be assigned to the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, which Murkowski chairs. Reporting in Haines, I'm Margaret Friednauer.
Haines School is now one of many around the U.S. that have put restrictions on yoga pants and leggings. These rules have sparked discussions about appropriate school attire and personal choice. At Haines School, the new dress code slogan is "Hitch up your britches and cover your bums." Students who wear leggings or yoga pants must wear a long shirt or skirt that covers their rear, and students whose pants sag are reminded to pull up their britches. Here's what the problem was, according to Dean of Students Renee Martin. Some students were wearing leggings and yoga pants that were see-through, and there were also some boys who wore pants that sagged and showed their underwear.
Quite honestly, no one needs to know what underclothing you have on or don't have on. And when you can see or not see underclothing, that is impacting educational setting, both for males and females, and teachers and staff and visitors to our building. And so it's a distraction.
She says she talked to individual students about it, but they kept wearing the same thing.
You know, I was giving them a chance. I had other people saying, we just need to, you know, we need to make this happen. And I was probably the last holdout of let's give them a chance. And then it's like the day that I had to see everybody something, then I was, okay, it's time.
So the week before spring break, the school made an announcement. People wearing baggy pants, pull them up and wear a belt. Students who want to wear yoga pants or leggings, wear a shirt or skirt that covers your butt. They said the updated restrictions would go into effect after spring break. Martin says this isn't a change to dress code policy, but an update. She reads the section of the policy the restrictions apply to.
Undergarments, including bra straps and sports bras, underwear, are not to be visible.
The hitch up your britches and cover your bum update applies to all grades from K to 12. Martin says even though see-through or baggy pants weren't a problem in younger grades, it's just more equitable to apply restrictions throughout the whole school. A group of high school students sitting together at lunch last week said they think the rule is mainly targeted at girls who wear yoga pants and leggings. Here's Gabrielle Galinsky.
I don't really care. I'm a jeans person. I don't wear leggings. I don't wear yoga pants as often. I just don't really mind the rule.
Rachel Haas says she does wear leggings and yoga pants.
Well, I was like, oh, that kind of sucks because sometimes... Since we're, like, going through high school, there's, like, everyone's having own body issues, like gaining weight and stuff like that. And some people grow out of their jeans, and leggings are just way cheaper. And sometimes it's really hard to get new jeans and stuff like that, so that kind of made me mad.
Rachel is wearing a long, knee-length rainbow sweater. She says she's worn the sweater almost every day in order to keep wearing leggings. A group of middle school girls across the cafeteria had stronger feelings about the rule. Ashley Williamson says not all yoga pants are see-through, so why put restrictions on them all? She also feels like the dress code rules are unfairly enforced.
The authorities are nagging on girls for, like, leggings, but there are also guys that sag their pants. I've never, like, heard any teacher, like, talk to them about that, like, ever.
Ashley and her friends say a rule that focuses on whether or not your butt is covered makes them uncomfortable. One girl put it this way: when someone says you need to cover your butt, I'm like, why were you looking at my butt in the first place?
I walked in one morning and I heard several people in the hallways arguing about the rollout of the policy.
High school English teacher Ryan Harms says when he heard how fired up some students were about the dress code, he decided to have class discussions about it. Here's what he heard.
Ranging from sort of a sense of victimization as a woman, that they're being sort of objectified. And then there were other people, and I think maybe you've already heard from some students, who said, that's not a big deal, I'm not violating the dress code anyway, so it doesn't affect me.
Martin says only one student has come to her with concerns about the dress code.
Their biggest concern really was that it was about, are we picking on the girls because of what they're wearing, and that it should never matter what you're wearing, and that you shouldn't be shamed. And I just really reassured them that it wasn't about that. And it wasn't about personal choice of clothing. It wasn't trying to shame anyone about what they're wearing. That it's really about professionalism in an educational setting and appropriate wear for this setting.
A few years ago, the student council appealed a dress code rule banning hats. And now, high schoolers are allowed to wear hats in the building. Martin says if students want to change dress code restrictions, that's the way they can do it. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.